So today's reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Sue. May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As always, I have written a report, which can be found in the annual report. Can I encourage you to read it if you haven't already, and to the many other people that have written reports. I've mentioned the Fabric Court, it's got the safeguarding report, and then all the other ministries that are going on here. So it gives you an idea of what's going on, especially if you're new to St Mark's. It'll give you an idea of not only what we're doing on the Sundays, but during the week, but also inside St Mark's and outside in the parish and community. So thank you all who've contributed to this and who all serve in the mission of God in so many ways here at St Mark's. There is no legal requirement for an address or message from the vicar. And in the past, I have spent time reviewing what we have done and often actually going over what I've already written in my report. I think it's been an encouraging year last year, but it's also been a challenging. Jesus never said it was easy to be a follower of his. He tells us daily to pick up our cross. I came back earlier this year from the New Wine Conference, where the theme was "The Time Is Now." And I've been honest with you, saying that I'm not quite sure what that might look like for St Mark's, but I do believe that it is a word for us. The Lord says in Isaiah, "Forget what happened before. Do not think about the past. Look at the new thing I am already doing. It's already happening. Don't you see it?" But when I read the gospel reading for today, my heart sank. And it also sung at the same time. Because I think verse 34 is one of the hardest verses in the Bible to put into action. I think it's similar to when we pray, "As we forgive those who have sinned against us," when often we don't. And I sung because I thought, "Aha, Lord, is this what you are asking of us? The time is now to love others as Jesus has loved us." Now, I'm sure we think we do, and many people do. So I'm not saying that we don't. I'm just saying that I think this might be something that God wants to speak into our hearts. Tom Wright says, "You can only discover the flavour of today's gospel if you remember that it comes immediately after Judas's departure." In the NRSV, it doesn't say who's just departed, but it's Judas who's just departed. And immediately after these verses, we have Peter's rash promise to lay down his life for Jesus. And Jesus's really sorrowful prediction of Peter's triple denial. And first, these verses is all about glory, isn't it? Glory, glory, glory. It's mentioned five times, glory. And then love. And I think they go together. They cannot be separated. Jesus now knows the time is near. The cross looms on the horizon. Little children, I'm only with you a little longer. And it will be on the cross that Jesus is glorified, and that God will be glorified in him. Somehow what happens on the cross draws back the curtain, if you like, to reveal that divine love in all its glory on the cross. And what he did on the cross was the true and complete expression of what it meant to be precisely the one who had come from God and was going back to his Father. Jesus has little time left, and yet his beloved disciples have learnt so little, understood so little, grasped so little with what their wonderful Master and Lord and Saviour has tried to prepare them for. And then in the next three chapters of John, Jesus tries to prepare them, informing them that the Holy Spirit will come and continue to guide them as he has done. But before that, he has something else to offer them. Tom White again says it's the simplest, clearest, and hardest command of all. Love one another. Jesus says it's a new commandment, and yet the book, Leviticus, commanded the Israelites to love their neighbours as themselves. But the newness of this is about the depth and the type of this love. Love one another in the same way that I have loved you. Jesus has already given them a picture of service by washing them their feet and telling them to do likewise. And now he tells them to love as he has loved them, soon to be illustrated on the cross. A sacrificial love, a love that has never been shown before. A love that they will only be able to offer through the power of the Holy Spirit. The hardest commandment of all, and the commandment that Christians have failed to obey down the centuries of Christianity, where love has turned to war and to torture and to persecution and to martyrdom and to abuse and to neglect of our neighbour, and so on. Love as I have loved you. I think this is so important because unless we know how much we are loved by God, it is virtually impossible to love him back and make his love known. That's our logo, loving God and making his love known. It is impossible to love our neighbours as ourselves if we don't love ourselves. It will be a false love, contrived, hypocritical. People will see right through this sort of love to its core. Often loving others so we feel good, feeling our own need to be loved, even loving out of our shame and guilt. Jesus knew that he was about to be denied and rejected and abandoned by his motley crew of his disciples, and yet he said to them, love others as I love you. Recently in my preach and in my May blog, I've spoken about repentance and forgiveness. And I believe we can only walk this road if we know God's love for us and for our brothers and sisters in Christ and for those who have not yet invited Jesus into their lives but are still created in his image. Are we God's image bearers? I've mentioned this book before, but I was in Oxford on Tuesday night for its launch at Wycliffe Theological College. And it's really the work of my dear friend Ruth Miller put together after she died, by someone called Rachel Atkinson and Michael Lord, who's the principal of theological in Oxford. And it's a book that helps us become healed and whole and looks at the image of God in us, created, broken, and restored. And then it offers spiritual practices such as confession and forgiveness and rediscovering God's heart and receiving the Father's love. We bear God's image. And Wright again says that loving others as Jesus loved us is to be the badge that the Christian community wears before the watching world. Do we bear witness to this love by our words and our actions and our thoughts and our service? I think this is the hardest commandment. But I think it is only Jesus' love witnessed by us out in the world that will bring people to seek and inquire and know his love. Loving God and making his love known. Another theologian, Richard Burridge, put it like this: such extreme love is the mark of the Christian life by which others will know you as my disciples. In the centuries of poverty and persecution which followed, this was one characteristic which the world could not ignore. See how these Christians love one another, says Tertullian, an early theologian from Carthage. See how these Christians love one another. Now, loving like Jesus loved is not liking everyone. We're not called to like everyone. But it is a sacrificial love that can only come from knowing how much God loves us in all our brokenness and sinfulness to enable us to offer sacrificial love to others. It is a love that I think we also need to work at. And when I say that, I mean that we need to seek healing, Christian counseling, spiritual direction, to help us know that unconditional, rich, glorious, forgiving, healing love of Jesus. Because we should be being transformed more into his likeness day by day, week by week, year by year. Knowing God's love enables us to do hard things when we prefer to do the opposite. It enables us to reach out when it is easier to remain silent and anonymous. While I was in Oxford, I stayed with Ruth Miller's husband. She and Andrew practiced true Jesus hospitality throughout their married life. And he still does, even though now he lives in a tiny little house in Oxford. He can just fit four people around his kitchen table. And he was telling me how he had invited two ex-offenders for a meal recently. They have a huge prison ministry at the church that he attends in Oxford. And he was thinking that he was going to cook bangers and mash. And then the Holy Spirit prompted him and said, well, why don't you cook what you would cook for any of your friends? And it would not be bangers and mash, knowing Andrew. No. So he cooked them Vichyssoise soup, which is basically a cold potato and leek soup. He couldn't remember what the main course was, but I'm sure it's delicious. And then he finished with cassis sorbet, which apparently has recently been printed in the Times newspaper. They had never eaten anything like it. They loved the meal and felt very special. That's what they said as they left. Andrew loved them as Jesus loves them because Andrew knows how much he is loved by Jesus. We were walking to the bus stop to go to this book launch. He was crying because he's just overwhelmed by the love of Jesus. He cried at breakfast over half a grapefruit, saying, "Henny, I can't believe how much Jesus loves me." He's a double first from Oxford, a retired chess physician, incredibly intelligent, but reaches out with one hand to the ex-offender and then pays for a holiday for his vicar. He knows the love of Jesus. He's overwhelmed by the love of Jesus. The time is now, and I want to finish by saying to be a forgiving and loving Jesus community is not easy, but we are commanded to love one another. Just as Jesus has loved us, so we should love one another. Now, the truth is that when we offer this love, it may not always be received, either by Christians or non-Christians. And that can hurt, but I think that's part of the sacrificial cost of such love. I reached out to someone last week, God's been prompting me to. Silence. It hurts. But we reach out with love. Because I wonder how many lives we could touch in the coming year if this, in this parish and local community and on our front lines, if we fulfilled this commandment. Perhaps the new thing that Jesus is doing and that we have not yet seen is transplanting our hearts of stone with the love of Jesus, becoming his little children who know and have received his love, so that we might make his love known to others. Later in chapter 17, Jesus said, "As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they, that is you and me, also be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me and love them even as you have loved me." The time is now. Do we not see it? Jesus is doing a new thing in us. And so too, to a time of thanks. I've already mentioned a huge thanks to Dave and Sue and as church wardens. I want to thank the PCC, the leadership team and staff team for their faithfulness to the different roles that God has called them to, the gifts that they bring. Thank you, Caroline, brilliant PCC secretary. Christine, our finance treasurer, well supported by Sue and Catherine. To Rose, our safeguarding officer, and assisted by Catherine DeBeja. Not an easy role, but thank you for your patience, your perseverance, and your grace that you have witnessed while making sure that we're all done our safeguarding training and been DBS'd. And as again, thank you for Richard and Mike and everyone else who's written in our annual report. Finally, thank you to all of you who make up the body of Christ here at St. Mark's. I have felt very blessed as I look back over this last year and see how God is using the diverse gifts and experience that you all bring, building, extending God's kingdom, extending the sight of our tent to the left and to the right. So let us be excited as we continue to offer our hearts, our gifts, our prayers in the service of God and see the new things that he is doing, springing forth, bearing good fruit, and going out to share his love with his people, for whom he also laid down his life. For he says to us today, love one another as I have loved you.